Welcome to the Lewiston Live podcast, a monthly show highlighting a historic city that blends a rich industrial past with a dynamic and evolving present. We'll take an in-depth look at the day-to-day operations, our vibrant community, and vision for Maine's second largest city. I'm your host, Mark Turcotte, joined in studio by Lewiston City Administrator Brian Kainrath. How you doing, Brian?
Excellent. Thanks for having me back. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. You're getting quite popular around here, so we'll have you back again.
And, household name.
That's right. And owner of Lydia Media, Pam Ashby. How you doing, Pam?
I'm all right. How are you?
Excellent. Let's get right into it. Chief St. Pierre had his retirement ceremony on September 9th. He will be sorely missed in this community. He had 33 years of service, and the search committee has been announced.
Yeah, so first on Chief St. Pierre, his last day was on the 9th. We had, I thought, a really great ceremony for him at the end at the police department, where they sort of do this last call over the radio, and then he's sort of driven away by a cruiser, and everyone lines up on the street to sort of wish him off. So really, really great ceremony, I think, fitting for his 33 years of service. And then we had a little after party at Da Vinci's after, which was nice. Which was really great. So a great send off for him. He will be missed. We'll still see him around. He's in the community.
And, sure.
But so that was great. And so next steps, obviously, is where we go from here with the search. Deputy Chief Higgins is the acting chief at the moment while we're going through the search process. But you may have seen I did announce that there's going to be an advisory committee helping me with the search for the selection of the next chief. That committee has now been formed. We actually had our first meeting just this week where we took a first look at applications that have come in. The application period did close last week. And the committee, I'll just, tell you the names real quickly. Sure. Right now. We have, I think, a good committee that represents a lot of different areas of the community and also brings some expertise forward to help us in this process. So first we have Kathy McDonald, a resident who's been really influential in the Lewiston-Auburn Balloon Festival and the Liberty Festival, among others, in her time here. Duncan's Pierre. Is a restorative justice specialist at Youth Led Justice, working with a lot of immigrant kids in our community, which is an important piece of this search, is how do we better engage the youth of the city, particularly in the immigrant communities. Spencer Traylor does a lot of work with Tree Street youth from sort of in the same area, looking at the youth of the city, particularly immigrant youth. Heather Terrio is on our HR team at City Hall. Neil McLean is our district attorney, so really brings some expertise in that law enforcement background. Jake Langlace, our superintendent of our Lewiston Public School System. Really important that we have, I think, our public schools at the table in all of this. They play a huge role in it all. And lastly, Brian O'Malley, our former police chief, is also our deputy city administrator, but someone else that has just some experience on the administrative side of law enforcement to help us with the process. So I think a really good committee put together. And so anyway, now we're going through the initial list of applicants. We had 18 applicants in total, which was decent. You always want the most you can get, but 18 is decent. Mm-hmm. And we're narrowing that list down, and we hope to invite some candidates in for interviews later this month. And I think our goal is still sometime in October, my guess is probably mid to late October, be able to have a name and announce that to the community.
Fantastic.
Exciting.
Yeah. Have you ever been involved in a process like this involving a police chief?
Yes. I've done police chief search processes before. It's, they vary a little bit community to community. Again, by charter, it just places the whole thing, on me. But I decided to do this advisory panel also. We also had a great public input session a couple weeks ago. We had a good turnout there also and heard a whole lot of views and thoughts about policing in the community and what people wanted to see in a police chief, and that was really great. So we're trying to open it up. My point is we're trying to open it up as much as we can to the public for public input and then have them also play a role in the actual going through the applications and the interview process to really get as much feedback and input as we can. So I think it's a pretty good process. You know, undoubtedly, there's always someone, you know, left out when you put a committee like this together. But, you know, unless you're looking to do a committee of 20 or 30 people, which is just way too cumbersome.
Yeah. Right.
Good luck getting anything done.
We've certainly tried our best, and I think we have a good group together. Right. I think it's always nice if you can involve the public, if you can open it up, if you can get as much input as possible. I think that just makes for a better process and for a stronger candidate that comes forward, you know, in the end. So we want to do this. We like doing this. And I think we're well served by doing a process like this.
Yeah. And it also assists with your philosophy of transparency.
Absolutely.
As well.
100%.
Yeah. You have a new community mixer coming up on September 30th.
So these are the monthly mixers or meet and greets, you know, that we've been doing since I arrived. I'm committed to doing these for, you know, as long as I'm here. So our next one is on September 30th, 5 to 6:30. It's going to be at one of our fire stations at 55 North Temple Street. That's off Sabata Street. These are really great sessions, and I think, like I've told you before, I get some really great feedback in these things, some of it positive, some of it not positive, but I want to hear it all. And the point of me being there is to give people an opportunity to have their voices heard, whatever that may be. And all feedback for me is good feedback, and I enjoy it. I think it's interesting. And even some of the comments that aren't always positive, we still have some good conversation, and I like hearing them out and hearing their perspective. So we're going to be doing that again, September 30th, 5 to 6:30, 55 North Temple Street, Lewiston Fire Department. Thank you to the fire department for hosting. We appreciate that. And again, we're trying to rotate these things around the community. We're not just doing them in one corner or another. We're not just doing them in downtown or outside of downtown. They're really anywhere and everywhere. So we're always looking for interesting locations to do these. So if anyone has any ideas out there, please let me know. Or if you'd like to invite me to your location, we're even willing to do private homes if you want to have kind of a neighborhood kind of gathering. Or, you know, we're happy to do that. So any ideas, we're game for that. Let me know. So look forward to that. We've had some pretty good turnouts at a lot of these, which I've been impressed with. So that just tells me people have a lot to say. There's a lot on the minds of people in our community, and they care.
Yeah.
If they didn't care, they wouldn't show up. Mm. And that's what I appreciate the most. So,
what is your process after one of these mixers? Do you go home and take notes? Or
I do. Well, as I'm talking to people, I take, you know, obviously a lot of mental notes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can say that, you know, feedback does matter. As we think about things at City Hall, as we make decisions, as we shape things, you know, all of these comments, you know, come back and are thrown out there. So it is important, and people's feedback is heard. And while there's no specific process, I do type up some notes, you know, after.
Yeah.
Sometimes just about, you know, this was really a big issue in this neighborhood and X, Y, and Z. Because people will give me specific things they want to see addressed too, like this pothole, you know, on this corner. What can you do about that? And so I am jotting down notes about that. We need to get that pothole fixed.
Yeah.
But it's great because sometimes, you know, honestly, in every small corner of the city, we don't see everything that's going on every day. So
Right. Sometimes
there's, you know, a dangerous tree that's about to fall into the road. There are road conditions are a big one. There are potholes. There are cracks. There are curbs broken. Those things are everywhere. But we have a lot of miles of road and sidewalk. And so, seriously, the public feedback and comment is how we're alerted to a lot of these things and how we can address them. So usually when I leave one of these things, I do have a new list of projects also to work on. So there's a lot of homework.
This will be your fourth mixer, and I think you already said you will continue to hold these meetings. It was great, you know, when you were first on the job, it gave people a chance to meet you and hear your views. So I'm encouraged that you will continue to hold these meetings. And I'm curious if you've learned anything specific about the character and identity of this community.
They've been very educational. And, you know, I think certainly to be frank, that sometimes the priorities of the downtown area and the priorities of, I'll call, the more suburban neighborhoods outside of downtown are different. And that's true in any city. But they are certainly different here. And, you know, I think the folks in some of these neighborhoods sometimes feel that the city gives more attention to one versus the other. And so it's part of my job to make sure that everyone is feeling heard and that their neighborhoods matter and they're part of the community matters. So, you know, I have heard some things like that. I think there is, you know, some divide there, and the more we can do to bridge that divide and act and behave as, you know, as one community, that's always the goal. So, sure, I've picked up on a lot. And as I get into different areas, I hear about different issues. You know, if I'm down in the tree streets versus, you know, out on Old Green Road somewhere almost to the city line, you hear about different issues and different priorities. So, and that's why it's important to do these things in different areas, not always have them in the same place every time. It's really getting a full flavor for the entire community, which is a very diverse community, mm-hmm. as we've talked about. Very diverse populations, not just geographically, but, you know, in many other ways. We have an extremely diverse community. And one of the challenges for a city government in a community that is very diverse is you have very diverse interests. You know, if you're in a community that's, you know, really just one demographic, you know, kind of across the board, sometimes that makes it easier, I guess, is you don't have multiple competing interests and priorities and things going on. But that's not Lewiston. We have a lot of diversity, and we have a lot of character, and we have a lot of needs, and they're not all the same. And every day we try our best to meet all of those needs and obligations across the board, across the spectrum. But that is one of the complexities of Lewiston versus some other communities in Maine, for sure.
It looks like the former Lewiston Police Headquarters is going to be repurposed.
So we have the Lewiston-Auburn Community Market. The city, we are moving forward with selling them that land. Basically, it's basically being gifted. It's for $1 or $2 at our purchase price now. And they're going to be demolishing the former police station there. The building is in a state where it's not really suitable for rehab or repurposing. There's also a lot of structural issues with the building. So they're going to be taking that down. The demolition costs there are significant. It's a few hundred thousand dollars just to demo the building. So they're going to be taking that land, and they're going to be building a new facility, a brand new building, the Lewiston-Auburn Community Market. From what I've heard, it's going to be a variety of offerings from produce and farmers market style things to other groceries. And what's really great about it is that area of the city in particular is not overly well served with fresh produce and groceries. We have a lot of folks who lack transportation in that neighborhood, so being able to walk to this market. We do have some other markets in the community, but having another offering is going to be great for the neighborhood. That's walkable, that's in the neighborhood. So that's very exciting, and it's exciting that just that spot is being repurposed. We're not going to have just an empty building,
right.
Structurally deficient empty building sitting there. We're going to have something shiny and new that's going to be a great offering for the community and draw more foot traffic into our downtown, into the neighborhood, which is what we want. You know, as we've talked about previously, one challenge we do have is in many cities across the country since COVID and with work from home, commercial office space is more challenging than ever in filling. We've had an exodus of daytime workers in our downtown over the last 5 years or so. And so we want to bring people and foot traffic back into our downtown. And we'll talk more about residential buildings, I think, in a few moments. But another piece is just, you know, the more commercial retail activity we have in the downtown, the more people we have walking around, the more people we have coming to downtown, the better it is for our overall economic picture. So this is great. It's great to have this location repurposed, and we're excited about it. And the other small point is this is a for-profit taxable entity. So this property is going back on the city tax rolls. It's not going to sit there just empty. So that's always a plus too.
Yeah.
Definitely. So is it going to be like an indoor farmer's market?
It is going to be indoor. I think there's going to be some farmer's market-like aspect to it. You know, I don't know if all the layout is totally, you know, set yet, but I think they're going to have a variety of offerings. But I did hear about fresh produce and some of the farmer's market, you know, style things. But I think it will lean more in some ways to a traditional grocery store also.
Okay.
But not quite. But it sounds very interesting. It sounds exciting.
Definitely.
And you know, looking forward to seeing that project get off the ground, and it's going to be great for us.
And for some of the reasons you already laid out, I can't think of a better use for that space.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yep. Some great events happening downtown as well that we will talk about later on. Housing in the city of Lewiston is a hot topic, and the properties at Martell, Wedgwood, and DeWitt seem to be moving along pretty nicely.
Yeah, we have a number of projects that are moving along, and as I said a moment ago, what's really great is although we've lost a lot of commercial office space with people visiting the city every day, we do have a lot of housing units coming online over the next few years. I think over 1,000 housing units coming online in the next 3 to 4 years. So, and that includes some of the projects you just mentioned. So Martell is going to be that's a project that's a 55 and up community, the former Martell School, corner of East and Lisbon. That's a lot of, I know a lot of seniors are eagerly awaiting that project to get going. We just had an update from the Lewiston Housing Authority at our meeting on Tuesday evening, and they are talking about shovels in the ground by the end of the year, getting that project started. And that's going to be 144 units in total. The first of two phases is going to be 44 units. So that's a great project. Again, another building that was, sitting there empty, doing nothing. And the location is now going to be transformed into something that's really contributing to the community. So that's a great project. Wedgwood, which is up in the Tree Streets, another great project, about 80 units in total there. And then the one that's really visible to a lot of folks recently is the DeWitt, which is where the former Sun Journal building was. The Sun Journal building recently came down, and they seem to be moving right along. We already have some steel going up for the new building, just a matter of weeks, later. So we're excited about that project. That's going to be about 100 units there, different income levels, there's a few market rate, and then mixed income. Beyond that, they're talking about the end of 2026 that the building is completed, so just really a little over a year from now, and get people moving into there. So, when you think about the downtown, we just talked about the market kind of on one side of Kennedy Park behind City Hall. Then we have this, 100 new units just on the other side of the park going up. There's really a lot of activity happening. And, all these people are going to be coming into downtown and living there and hopefully walking over to the market and walking to other restaurants and shops and stores on Elizabeth Street. So it's exactly the sort of activity we want to see happening. Then I'll say there are other large projects. Also, the Continental Mill project is another big one that's going to be happening in the next couple of years. So housing is a hot topic, but I think, there's some good progress happening too. And it's not just at one income level or another. We have everything from market rate down to 50% area median income happening. So a good mix. The bottom line is we want people in our downtown.
Right.
So if they're not going to be working there during the day, we want them living there. And we see some of that happening. So some really great projects. The city has been helpful in pushing these along. So thank you to all our staff involved there. And, so we're excited about all of that. And we want to see the continued growth and development of the city. And there's nothing that says that more than shiny new buildings going up with people inside them.
And if you're not going to work or live there, come visit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about a hot topic recently, the syringe program in the city, where the Church of Safe Injections license was revoked earlier this month, and the city council recently postponed a decision on regulating the service programs.
Yeah, this is a very, very hot topic, a very difficult topic, to be honest, and we have a clear split on our city council, and there's a lot of divided public opinion on this topic. We did have COSI, the Church of Safe Injection, was suspended by the state CDC. They had a number of code enforcement violations that were fairly significant. And so they have closed. So we have one provider left in this city, that's Spurwink. And so the council has been, for the past 6 months or so now, wrangling with how to deal with this issue and how to put forward an ordinance to help regulate at the local level what the future looks like for syringe service providers. So for many, this is a major public health issue. I think a lot of others are extremely concerned about the needle waste and litter around the city. That is one major, part of this. And then another piece that, we're grappling with is where can syringe service providers be located? around the city. And so at our council meeting Tuesday night, that was the one of the main points of focus was where. And the other main point that we discussed extensively was this so-called, you know, one-to-one ratio where, you know, for example, if you bring in five needles, you get five back. Should it be a one-to-one ratio or should it be, you know, there be more allowed than that one-to-one ratio? And what did happen Tuesday night is the council voted in a sort of a split decision, a 4-3 vote, to remove the one-to-one ratio and to allow folks to get more than just what they bring in. So it is going to be back on the agenda at a future upcoming council meeting. We are not done with this issue yet. It's only been 6 months, so we're still going. But it is a hot topic for many people, and I think we want to be deliberate about putting together an ordinance that is really the best policy for the city. But a tough issue, a hot topic. But we do, I will say, hear a lot of complaints about needle waste and litter around the city. And, you know, there's nothing you don't want to see more than used needles all over the streets. It's jarring for a lot of people, especially people coming to town. We're just talking about all this other, you know, good work happening, trying to attract visitors, people to live here, et cetera. When you have used syringes all over the streets, that's not helpful. So no. We want to do whatever we can to deal with the needle waste and litter. You know, we are putting up more sharps boxes around the city, but there needs to be, I think, more public education also, you know, on this topic. But we have to get a handle on it. It's tough for the community. So that is ongoing. We'll see where it goes in October. Hopefully we get an ordinance crafted and together and passed in the near future so we can really address these major issues concerning the community. And I just want to also thank our code enforcement department for taking swift action on the COSI issue, because that was a major, talking about public health hazard right there. So,
yeah. When you say that there needs to be more public education on this issue, what are you talking about specifically?
It's a good question. I think, you know, the community needs to be educated more about proper disposal of needles, and you never get 100% compliance. Mm-hmm. But we need to do a lot more with, you know, I think the groups involved in this is, you know, how are these syringes being disposed of? Mm-hmm. Tossing them on the street, leaving them on corners, leaving them behind buildings is not acceptable. And, you know, we're all for public health. We're all for harm reduction. We're all for helping those in need. But the impacts on the community cannot be such that we have complaints every day and see needles all over our streets. That's not acceptable either. So I think we just need to see some sort of comprehensive public education strategy to those who are using these programs, and I think also to the broader public of, if you see needles, what do you do?
Right.
What happens? Who do you call? Yeah. You know, is there a sharps box in a nearby location? There's a lot of points there I think we can work on. But we do not advise, you know, the general public to be picking up needles on their own. So I think it's important just to tell people, what do they do?
Right.
And what are the risks in dealing?
Because I have no idea.
Right, exactly.
I'll admit it. If I see it, I'm not touching it.
Exactly.
So what do I do? Yeah.
Right. So I think needs to be a whole other component of this whole process.
Yeah.
As we deal with this.
Let's lighten the subject matter a little bit and talk about some beautification efforts around the city, starting with City Hall.
Yeah, a couple of things I just want to mention. So I think we may have talked about this, but City Hall, our beautiful 1892 Baroque Revival City Hall. So we're doing some projects to spruce up the building. You know, a lot of it's general, you know, maintenance items, but the point is it's very important that we take care of our building if we're encouraging others to take care of theirs. So when you come to City Hall, you'll notice all of our doors, the beautiful wood doors on the entrances are refinished. They got another coat of poly the other morning, so they're looking great. We've replaced some rotted window trim. We've removed graffiti on the backside. We've repainted and powder coated all of the black hand railings. And inside, we're going to be looking at doing some updates and maintenance also. So, again, point here is that we're actively preserving and taking care of our beautiful City Hall, which is also the seventh tallest building in Maine, just another small fact. And we encourage others to take care of their buildings also. You know, all of our facades downtown and all of the aesthetics of our city do matter. And so we want to encourage good maintenance of buildings and properties, and Public Works is, you know, being more proactive about our parks and everything else. So some good work happening there. I also want to say Public Works, we're doing a good job. I've talked maybe about, maybe not here, but other places about street trees in particular. We've had a lot of trees that end up going down due to age or disease or whatever it is. So we're being more robust about replanting our street trees. There's been a lot of trees that have gone up this summer, this season, all around the city, replacing ones we've lost and planting new ones in some new locations too. So it seems like a small thing, but we've gotten a lot of positive feedback about that, about new trees going up around the city. Yeah. And, you know, beautiful tree-lined streets provide a number of benefits. They increase overall property values. They provide a lot of shade, as people are talking about summers, you know, getting hotter. And I think it just generally shows that the city is being proactive and taking care of neighborhoods and making our streets look good. So we're really trying to amp things up on the street tree replanting. And we're also doing some good work at City Hall and in our parks overall. So a lot more to come on that. But beautification, the aesthetics of everything, and taking care of our assets is really important. And I hope that trickles down to others, that we set a good example, which is what we want to do, of how others should take care of their properties and their neighborhoods. It's really important.
And it's encouraging, too, how much the city of Lewiston has embraced public art. It's very noticeable. Mm-hmm. Last time you were here, we talked about activating the alleys. Any progress there?
Yeah, so we're looking at right now, we're looking at doing a pilot project on sort of one alley or one section of alley. It probably, you know, with the weather, will probably not be until the spring. But we would really like to do something as a pilot to see how it goes. And again, it could be a number of elements. It could be some art pieces. It could be some different lighting. It could be some things, you know, on the ground. It could be, you know, pavers instead of just, you know, asphalt. Mm-hmm. To really make the alleys more just inviting places to, whether you're walking through or maybe you want to check out some interesting art pieces there. There's a lot we could be doing with these alleys rather than just have them as sort of back alleys that are trash dumpsters and things like that. There's a lot more we could do. And I think it would be really unique for our downtown, because we have a lot of these alleys going through our downtown. And I think it would be another unique feature to the city of Lewiston, sort of like our canals, which is another long-term project, in saying, you know, getting people into the downtown and you actually come to look at our alleys. It could be an attraction in itself. So we're working on that, you know, over the winter, and hopefully in the spring we can do a pilot on at least one of them, and then hopefully it grows from there. And again, the larger point is we want downtown Lewiston to be an attraction where you come here for specific things, to see specific things, for experiences, and this could just be another one, you know, in that effort. So just trying to put us on the map and make us a destination. Lots of work is happening. We have some good events maybe we'll talk about coming up too. But so we're excited about this project. We're going to be working on it, as I said, over the winter, and hopefully by springtime we can actually do some physical changes to one of the alleys. I'll say, you know, probably the one we're looking at most for the initial pilot project is probably the alley behind City Hall, parallel to Park Street. So we'll maybe start there. But we have a lot of interesting nooks and crannies in our downtown that we want to work with.
Sure do. And, I know when last time you were here, we talked about this project. Mm-hmm. And after you left, I went to my computer and started Googling like different alleyways that different cities have done. And there are some really neat and creative ways to do things with alleyways.
And so I've seen some around the country. I was in Annapolis, Maryland about a year ago, and I was walking up the street. I noticed there was sort of this cut through to a street over, and it was an alley, and they did some great lighting and some art and everything in it. And it was, you know, it was interesting. You actually saw people stop this is when I really noticed, because people were stopping to look down the alley because it was interesting. It was, you know, it wasn't just a bunch of garbage cans and things like that. So that's when I kind of registered in my mind that this could actually be an attraction, these alleys. If you do something with them, people are actually stopping to look at them, and you see, and then they start walking through. It's so, and as we talk about pedestrian friendly, you know, things and access, I think it goes along with that too.
Not a lot of communities you can go to where people will say, hey, be sure to check out our alleys.
Exactly.
Love it. And with that, with beautifying the city, including the alleyways, you want to market it. You want to let people know all about it and why they should visit the city of Lewiston. And that's also something that's on your agenda.
Yeah. So we're working with our communications department. We would like to launch a new marketing effort and campaign for the city. So we are talking to some outside firms also for some from expert you know, kind of strategic advice on how to better, you know, market the city and launch new campaigns. So, yeah, I want people to know that is ongoing, that, you know, we do have a lot to offer in Lewiston. We don't always talk about it all the time. We don't always talk about the positive aspects as much as we can. So how do we really, you know, take all those positive things and package it and get it out there? Beyond just this general area, and talk about Lewiston, Maine in a positive way. So we want to do a lot more with marketing and promotion of the city and talking about the good things and the positive things and really the up-and-coming things about this community. So we're working on an effort to do that. We hope to launch something formal, you know, in the coming months or probably by spring. Spring is actually a good time to do that also. And really just, you know, start changing some hearts and minds about Lewiston, Maine. Because I think as we've talked about before, you know, like it or not, this city has a certain reputation out there. And while a lot of people love it, a lot of people love to hate it too. And so we want to get a second look from a lot of people out there who may have, you know, said, well, Lewiston, you know, there's nothing really to do or see there. We want to change that. We want to get them here and have a positive experience here. And for them to say as they're leaving, wow, that was pretty cool. That was pretty neat. We had a great time in Lewiston today, and we're going to tell our friends and we're going to tell our family and get some more people here. So I think we can do that. I think there's a lot to work with here to get a second look from a lot of people out there who may just have more of the negative opinion of our city. And we want to change some hearts and minds. And I think we're going to be able to do that.
Speaking of things to do and see in this city, starting actually tomorrow, the Lewiston Maniacs are having their home opening weekend at the Colisée, which is pretty great. I know a lot of hockey fans around here are pretty excited about that.
Yeah, a lot of great events coming up. We have this is the Dempsey Challenge weekend also. This weekend, we also have a Rally for Recovery event. And then just to highlight a couple things coming up in the next few weeks, we're very excited about this. So Lewiston Live, which is our busking event, this is the first, from what we can tell, busking event in the state of Maine, certainly for Lewiston, coming up on October 4th. It's going to be starting at 4 p.m. It's going to be on Elizabeth Street in between Ash and Maine. The street will be shut down. And we're going to have a series of street performers out there from all over the place. It's going to be very exciting. So this is a first. And as we talked about a moment ago, we're interested in putting Lewiston on the map with unique and new events and activities and things to come and do and see. And this is one example of this. Thank you to Joe Grockmall in our office, who's really been behind this whole push. He worked on a similar event in Western Massachusetts. In Great Barrington, and that's where the concept came from. So we're very excited about this. We hope this is the first one, so we're hoping for a good turnout. We're hoping for good weather, obviously. But this should be unique. It should be interesting, and we should get some really great publicity for the city out of this. Very excited about it. And then we also have our Taste the Harvest event. That's on October 15th from 4 to 7, Dufresne Plaza. So some good offerings coming up. We're excited about, but so please check them out. Some things right downtown. Downtown Lewiston has a lot to offer. I think we have our last art walk coming up also. I think it's next Friday.
September 26th.
That's correct. That's correct. Yep. So, right here in Lewiston, Maine, some great, great events to do. Bring your family, bring the kids right in our downtown, and we're very excited.
We will go now to our listener question, and this is from Beth M. And you may have already answered this, Brian, but I want to revisit it. Beth asks, are there any specific characteristics that you are looking for in the next chief of police for the city?
Yeah, great question. I think first and foremost, with the challenges that we have, is someone who's very interested in public engagement and getting out into the community and in building relationships. And as we talked about earlier in this segment, building those relationships goes across the full spectrum. It involves working with immigrant communities in our downtown. It involves working with single-family homeowners in the more suburban neighbors outside of downtown. So I think someone who's really going to be interested in getting out into the community and engaging and listening and learning and really having the pulse of the community each and every day. Beyond that, you always want to see someone with strong leadership characteristics who's able to motivate a staff, who's able to lead people, and who's able to inspire. That's really important. The other piece specifically in our police department is we're down 12 to 14 officers vacancies. It varies depending on, the week, but a significant number. Mm. And so we need someone who's going to be able to, I talked about, inspiring a second ago, who's going to be able to inspire that new crop of law enforcement officers to want to join the Lewiston Police Department, and really tell them and show them why this is the best police department in the state of Maine to be a part of, and really talk about our mission and why that's important. So their ability to help us fill those vacancies is going to be huge. Yeah. So, and I think leadership is a big part of that. People want to be part of something, I think, often larger than themselves, want to be part of a broader mission, and I think want to be part of, some greater public service effort.
Yeah.
I think, I honestly believe most people that get involved in our public service professions, whether you're a firefighter or a cop or a lot of people that work at City Hall, they are interested in working with the public and in public service and community engagement. And so we need someone who's going to be able to inspire that new generation to come in here at the Lewiston Police Department and show them and tell them why they need to be here.
Yeah.
So I think those are the big ones. There's obviously, if you go down the job description, there's a whole lot of smaller things, administrative things. Mm-hmm. But we want someone who's going to be able to be part of the community, engage with the community, and really be inspirational to a lot of people.
Yeah. Are law enforcement vacancies, is that like a statewide issue?
It is.
Is it a nationwide issue?
It is. Yeah. And it varies community to community, but most law enforcement agencies, certainly around the state of Maine, do have a pile of vacancies.
Yeah.
Some departments are doing a little bit better than others, but I can tell you, Portland PD, for example, is down a significant number of officers. When I worked in SACA, we were down a significant number of officers. So it's not just the central and northern part of the state; it's even southern Maine.
Right.
York and Cumberland County are dealing with the same things, and I think it goes to largely it's a tough job.
Sure.
It absolutely is, and I've done some ride-alongs with some officers here and in other places, and you really do get a good sense of what they deal with every day when you're actually out with them, going on calls with them. And it's not just, arresting bad guys. They deal with a lot of very just emotionally challenging and tough situations. They deal with death. They deal with blood. They deal with, horrific accidents. They deal with a lot of really just sad situations out there. And they go home at the end of every day seeing just all of that. I can tell you, to be honest, the one I went on here, the one right along the first call we responded to was a fatal drug overdose. And this gentleman, died right in front of us. And that was, by 9 a.m. That's already in the book. So it's a tough job.
Yeah.
The national environment for law enforcement is also, not easy. There's a lot of, whether you believe it's warranted or not, there's a lot of criticism. There's a lot of second guessing. And so it's a tough position. And when you look at some of the pay structure, you can do other things and make, similar or better money doing things that are a little bit, less heavy than what these men and women deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I think, by and large, what's really contributed to a lot of the recruitment challenges.
And before we let you go, Brian, I have a question for you.
All right.
Pam and I host the daily podcast here at Lydia Media. And at the end, we always end with a segment called Three Random Questions. Mm-hmm. So I'll ask you one of our favorites. What is your favorite way to unwind after a busy day?
Yeah, so I mean, I love being outside. So this time of year, I'll actually head out to a nearby lake or body of water and just get on my paddleboard, or even just go for a swim. I swim all over the place. I swim in the Androscoggin River. People think I'm crazy. Some people, it is actually
cleaner than it used to be.
It's very clean. It's perfectly fine. Yeah, there's a great little beach behind Martin's actually on that trail. You just jump in the river right there. So I love swimming. I love anything on the water: kayak, paddleboard, boat. So I'll try to get out there. I still run, not as much as I used to. I'm over 40 now, but I still try to get out and do some running and get outside, hiking. I love being outside. We're in Maine, so you have to try to get outside and enjoy some of it, especially while the weather is good.
Sure. Yeah. Do you run solo, or did you like do 5Ks and marathons?
I've done a lot of that in the past, but now it's mostly solo. I try to squeeze a little run in, before or after work, when I can. But, it's not as easy as when you were, 18 or 20 years old.
And, sure isn't.
So, preaching to the choir over here.
I try to keep it up as it used to be, 8 miles. Now it's more like 2, but, we try to keep going. So.
Yeah. I did my first marathon in New Orleans a couple of years ago, and I just finished last week, so I'm pretty proud of that.
Excellent. Oh, Mark.
Any parting words before we say goodbye, Brian?
No, always appreciate the opportunity, and some seriously great things happening in Lewiston. Couldn't be more optimistic about the city. People have asked me, you've been here for 4 or 5 months now, 4 months. Do you have any regrets? What do you think? And then, no, I don't have any regrets. I'm more optimistic than ever about the work that's happening, what's going on. And we're feeling good. And please come out to some of these great events coming up. We really want to get downtown Lewiston moving. We have a lot to offer, and we're going to be offering it. So
awesome. Thanks for your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Lewiston Live podcast, a Lydia Media production. And if you'd like to share your feedback or submit a question to be answered on a future episode, send an email to hello@lewistonmaine.gov.